And welcome back to Mouthing Off with Mike. As you can see, I'm joined with familiar face of the podcast, good brother Jordan. Jordan, tell the people what's up.
Familiar face, not a very familiar place. It's nice to have a real setup now. So, state of the union address, emergency, all hands on deck. Excited to be here.
All hands on deck here for it. I'm going to tell you right now, as we always start the podcast, this is the only wrestling podcast that is currently not getting rock blocked on the road to WrestleMania. Unfortunately, like our good friend, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Usually, I start the show with the Raw recap. We'll head into SmackDown. We'll do the AEW stuff. Everything's kind of in a chunk. This episode of the weekly recap of Mouthing Off with Mike, everything's thrown all out of whack here. A tornado came through, and I unfortunately was not able to slap it. And a tornado came through WWE Friday night on SmackDown. We were led to believe that Cody Rhodes, the winner of the Royal Rumble, two-time winner of the Royal Rumble, was going to go back on to back. And back-to-back, first to do it since Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the late 90s, gets added to an illustrious list of Hall of Famers, Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels, and Stone Cold as two-time or multiple-time Royal Rumble winners or consecutive winners. And we're all leading to the final face-off with Roman and Cody. Cody even saying that that's the title he wants, the one Roman holds. But he steps aside. And if you smell what The Rock is cooking, board of director of TKO now, seems The Rock and Roman Reigns is now the WrestleMania 40 main event. I have a lot of thoughts here, and Jordan, you can hop in at any time, but I am happy to see The Rock. I'm going live. As you guys know, I'll be at Mania in Philly. It's home turf. I got to go. So it's cool to see The Rock. Never got to see him. Now, from the perspective of Jordan, who actually did get to see The Rock in a capacity at WrestleMania, how do you feel about this?
I saw him as a part of what was maybe the worst WrestleMania ever. Special Enforcer, Miz Concussion, we all remember.
Yeah.
To say I'm disappointed is an understatement. I'm pissed. I mean, you build 2 years, Cody Rhodes, he comes back, wins, like we said, back-to-back Rumbles, first time in over 20 years. And you throw him to the side for The Rock. It seemed like a power play. I mean, obviously, we don't know what went down, but he comes in, board of directors, and then he politics his way. Now it's to the main event, and barring any changes, it doesn't seem like there should be any changes. So, to say the least, I was excited. I wanted to go to WrestleMania. I already said, I don't think I want to go. I don't think it's worth my time. It's the right match, but it was never about the world championship. It's about who's the head of the table, and they both, made that very clear. And it's a match that belongs on WrestleMania. I don't think it should be in Australia. Don't think it should be in Saudi Arabia. It should be at WrestleMania. It just should not be for the world title. So I think they did Cody really dirty, and I don't know what the end game is. So
I mean, dude, I'm more confused than anything else. And look, me and Jordan, funny enough, like our friendship surmounted in college and ended up becoming, out of a mutual love of professional wrestling and watching it. And we used to hang out a lot. And we watched a lot of the roughest of WWE during our time in college. So it's really tough because we're like, we had 10 months of really good content. And this is stuff that we really wanted all those years ago when we were watching, WrestleMania 32, and we both literally fell asleep during it. And it's like now we got to this point and we've come so far from that path where it's like Jordan and myself, we were like, wow, this is Triple H. Like this might be the answer. And then it seems everything gets thrown out of whack. Everything seemed so clear and cut. Royal Rumble, CM Punk gets hurt. Now you're losing out on a Seth Rollins CM Punk dream match. You're missing out on Cody and Roman. And this just comes, what logic? And I obviously, I know wrestling's not logic, but what logic does it make sense for the guy who won the match, who worked his ass off, who lasted all those other superstars, who earned it, wins the Rumble? What? How does that make any sense? So now they've built the World Heavyweight Championship as literally the consolation prize of WWE. They buried it on SmackDown.
As Roman Reigns said, it's it's the division of everybody I beat, basically, is, you know, is was the gist of his message. He he spent multiple minutes burying the title, burying Seth Rollins. And, you know, the path was as easy to see as possible when it was CM Punk Rollins. And then, yeah. You know, Rhodes Reigns. And, you know, but you could have pivoted in so many more directions. You know, I think we talked about this. I was so on board with, you know, Gunther winning the world title and then relinquishing the IC title the next day. You know,
yeah, if a not guy only, like it, Drew and Sammy now, their Mania card spots are now in question because, hypothetically, you could have done Drew, Sammy, Seth, Gunther in a multi-person match or worked up something crazy.
Well, now
there.
I think it affects Gunther's WrestleMania plans. Obviously, Lesnar not being there also plays a part. But, you know, now I think instead of a one-on-one match, I think you may see him, Braun, you know, if Sheamus comes back and somehow is on Raw, Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn. So I think that just becomes a shit show in its own right. So like I said, it's a short-term Band-Aid in terms of what's going on with Vince McMahon and that whole thing. And they're just kind of trying to build some extra hype on Mania and kind of get that under the rug. But what it's going to, cause long-term in terms of a lot of different stories, maybe they're aware of the repercussions and just don't really mind it. And it's kind of kick the can down the road and deal with it when you have to. But, you know, it definitely didn't seem like it was a positive reaction from any people backstage.
No, I mean, I think what I saw a lot on social media, especially on Twitter last night, was a lot of, even superstars were shocked. You know, that was a big rumor coming out. You know, I have to give credit where credit is due. Fightful has been very good in reporting this and putting out, you know, different pieces, you know, on it and as to, like, the logic and, you know, what's going on backstage. You know, what were some of those murmurs? And it seems now, especially the Rock Roman thing, it's set in stone. But now it seems that The Rock's getting his own creative team in the form of former head writer for Raw back in, what, the 90s, early 2000s, Brian Gerwitz. Now it seems The Rock's calling in his own creative team. To me, that just spells like something is taking place. And obviously, I really can't speak on anything with this whole Vince thing. I've condemned him multiple times. I've said Vince McMahon should have been out of the wrestling business almost 10 years ago. He's been that out of touch. And to see all the things that came out about him, you know, was a surprise, but also kind of like, you look back, you know, look at some of the stuff that they produced in the day, it's disturbing. And now the story's coming out, and we know about Ashley, you know, and now we know about other women in the company who are coming out. So it's to the point where it's like, does it seem that now maybe The Rock is coming for creative of WWE, or is it more so he wants creative, he wants the full focus of creative, he wants whatever creative people he wants for this story going to WrestleMania with The Rock? You know, or with Roman, I should say.
No, obviously, you know, Triple H's involvement and knowledge of what's gone on plays into a huge part of it, just because, obviously, if he knows and they're forced to, remove the poison, quote-unquote, you'd have to imagine it becomes a Rock-led company. And like you said, Brian Gerwitz, who was, you know, on the WWE writing team for a long time, he would slot in as the top guy, and him and Nick Khan are very close. So, you know, it seemed like the writing could be on the wall in that sense, but maybe we let it play out and... me and my brother were talking about it. It kind of feels like Daniel Bryan in a sense, where if there's just that much fanfare rage, just in the sense of everybody's so against it, and especially the last time The Rock and Roman tried to get over in Philly, didn't really go well.
Back to that same place. That's the other thing.
So not only that, it's three times the amount of people. I think they were, I forgot the Prudential Center, I believe, is where it was the last time. So now you're going, you're going to the Link. A lot of fucking people fit into the link.
Philly, man. And you got a lot. And you also have to keep in fact, Philly, you know, really has a heartbeat of indie wrestling. You know, that's their history. You know, we've seen a lot of companies roll through Philly. A lot of people at that 2300.
They let you know how they feel. It's one of those crowds. New York's one of those crowds. Boston's one of those crowds. You'll know if they like something or if they want you to go take a hike.
100%. And that's the scary part about this is that. I don't know if we're in a sense of where the fans are capable to coordinate, you know, the yes movement, essentially, like they did in 2014 to, you know, for Cody Rhodes. You and I actually were texting about it the other, just today, where we were like, I don't think there's that many hardcore people that would be like, well, no, if it's not this match, then, you know, we're going to go up in arms. But it kind of, everything kind of has already been said. Like we were saying, you know, we're still continuing the conversation when it comes to, you know, Rock and Roman at WrestleMania. And essentially, you know, really the only thing that we can all do right now, and it would just basically be a self-fulfilling prophecy, would be if we all just took to Twitter and we tweeted our outrage, which Triple H kind of called us out on that over 10 years ago, you know, so it also is very funny and fitting. And this is kind of the last thing I'm going to say on it, because I'm going to let it play out. We'll see what this press conference holds Thursday. We'll see what Monday Night Raw holds. Obviously, everything's up in the air. The Elimination Chamber matches are up in the air. We know there's going to be a women's one. We don't know who the men's one is going to be for. But CM Punk told Cody Rhodes what was going to happen.
Look out.
What was going to happen. But he was referencing himself. But he told them, word for word, bar for bar, last Monday on Raw, someone's going to come in. You're going to hold this company for 2 years on your back. You're going to be the face of the place. You're going to get the newest cover of WWE. And congratulations, of course. And a part-timer is going to take your spot. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all that can be said about it. That is exactly what happened to AT.
The man lived the life. It's happened to him before.
And it's literally, it's happened to him. And he was going to do it to somebody this year. You know, obviously, if you want to cast that stuff.
Oh, but it's, you know, that's what people have said to me too, is, oh, CM Punk hasn't been here in this time. But while he was away from wrestling, his heart always belonged to wrestling, so you knew he'd be back. The Rock's heart has been long out of wrestling. It's in politics, and it's in wanting to be a mids actor. He wants to just get another set of people's eyeballs on him. He wants the story to be about him, his ultimate triumph. And it's like, dude, no one cares. He gets hurt every time he wrestles. It's like
rumors going around that he's pushing for himself to win the title.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about that with my brother earlier. It's like, if he walks out and he's the one, not only did this set a bad precedent that, yeah, you don't have to be a full-time guy to get a main event spot and then to end a four-year streak. I mean, you probably lose, if there's any free agents after Mania who are thinking about staying.
Yeah, they're out.
They may say just F you, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, like you said, you got to let it, you know, play out, see what happens, but this whole thing left a sour taste in my mouth, and I said, I know it's great short term. The stock prices will rise. Vince McMahon gets tossed to the wayside while people, you know, bitch about this instead. But
right.
I don't think it's a long term solution. That problem's not going away. So you're still going to have really to face what that it problem all was, head though?
On. Because honestly, we're spitballing. We don't have any. Look at me. I'm looking at you watching this, and I'm talking to you if you're listening to this on the audio. Look, we didn't have anything planned for this. We and straight up, I'm exposing the business, or I'm not keeping it kayfabe. But truthfully, this is just two dudes who love professional wrestling, doesn't matter what it is, you know, and we love a good story. And what better story did you have going right now than Cody in finishing the story? Obviously, the Bloodline story, too. And you have to say that match has to happen, Rock and Roman.
It was the belt his father wanted. He said it himself. Wanted the title. And then step aside and let this part-timer, this guy who hasn't been here in forever. And like we said, he's either, if they try to go more than 15 minutes, there's an 80% chance he ends up hurt. The guy,
every match he came back for, he got hurt in. He literally said it the last time he wrestled. Did he not? That he got hurt, he tore his pec.
It's similar. Yeah, it was similar to Cena too. He came back, ended up needing surgery in both arms. It's when you're away for that long and you're training your body to do different things that's not wrestling. I feel like it's just wrestling shape. Like it's just different types of training and stuff. And so unless I'm missing something. And he's doing all this mass training that's going to have him ready for 30 minutes with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, there's no way.
Come WrestleMania.
We'd be lucky if we got 20 minutes at WrestleMania for that main event. Let's be real here. Let's realistically, if you were to look at some of the matches with The Rock, obviously I think the longest match he had in his return was against Cena at the Mania, and then the Cena Mania following. But that's it. Those are the two longest matches. He did the tag match. You know, it was a short match. You know, he did a couple Rock Bottoms here and there. We haven't seen him in 10 years. And if you've got a guy like Cena, and you bring up a valid point, you got a guy like Cena who's ready to hang it up already, and he's not even 50 just yet. He's a spitting distance away. And now you've got the guy who is in his mid-50s who hasn't wrestled in, what, a decade, maybe, if not more.
And yeah, and you have a handful of wrestlers who are, you know, you have your Finn Balor who's 40s, and you have Edge staying. You know, you got guys who could still go.
You have guys that can do it.
But the thing is, they've trained their bodies a different way, and they're still like the big thing is, you know, just until recently for Edge, I guess, but you know, that's another conversation out of Copeland. Sorry. their bodies were trained for wrestling. Again, he doesn't train for wrestling. He trains for aesthetic. He trains to look good for Instagram, and it's you know, his body. I don't know if his body's going to be conditioned to hold up. I don't know anything about anything. I'm not in the Rock shape.
I'm not. But like I said, I could never. The guy eats like 16,000 calories a day, and he lifts.
Yeah, I don't know if all of his French toast and his Termana tequila is going to save his ass, you know, from blowing out a quad or some sort of, you know, big muscle.
And that's not us wishing this happens. This is just the reality of the situation where it's like, look, we all know that he's not in, like, he got hurt the last time he did this. So it's like, and he's older. He's, you know, 8, 9 years older, 10 years older. So it's like, I don't see this playing out. Now, look, I could do this all freaking day, guys. And Jordan could do it. We could sit here and we could moan and complain and groan and say, you know, yada, yada, yada. We're not getting our way. But honestly, it is a blockbuster match. The Rock and Roman is a dream match. We obviously all want it. We obviously needed it. It had to happen. Ideally, you don't get in this situation if Cody wins the title last year at Mania. Different conversation for a different day, and I'm sure you agree to that sentiment as well. But then you don't have the record-breaking reign of Roman Reigns, and this essentially is the most predictable WrestleMania main event that you could ever make, because this almost guarantees, unless The Rock gets his pull, Roman retains the title, he beats Hogan's record. And then after that, it's all down the line, and you know someone's beating Roman because he broke Hogan. Because there's no way in this modern era of professional wrestling they're going to hold that title for 8 years like Bruno Sammartino.
It's never meant to be like that.
Abruzzo, Italy's reign, that record will never be broken because you can't. People are fickle about 2 years. People are now getting fickle about 4 years. Imagine 4 more years of this.
And, you know, last thing, and we can put it to rest, I don't blame people for getting excited like you should at face value. It's Roman Reigns versus The Rock, but it's just the wrong time for the wrong reason. And like I said, it's going to have long-term repercussions. So
it is.
How they deal with it, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.